I know a lot of people are feeling anxious and a bit stressed, maybe even fearful. Nobody ever chooses hard seasons.
Can't wait to go to work. Can't wait till we gather again. When do we get to eat at Waffle Shop and go to a stinking Penn State football game? I just want to go to church and send my kids back to school.
Habakkuk said, Lord, please tell me what you're doing. And God said, no, I'm not going to tell you, Habakkuk, because if I told you what I was doing, you wouldn't believe it. If God today told us what he's doing in the world, we wouldn't believe it.
God has placed the world into a time of transition. And
what if this is an opportunity like we haven't had maybe in decades, maybe forever?
I love that line from Habakkuk through Billy Graham. What in the world are you doing, God? And God's saying, if I told you, Habakkuk, you wouldn't believe me. Listen, if there are three amazing things that I know God is doing in the world today, there are 3 billion amazing things of which I have absolutely no clue. And before I go any further, can I just take a moment and recognize our college graduates? This would have been your weekend to shine, to commence with family and friends, and now, well, let me tell you, if there are 3 amazing things that I know God is doing in the world, there are 3 billion amazing things of which I have no clue, and I am so convinced that more than just a few of those 3 billion things, he's doing for you and in you, and we miss you, and we're praying for you as well. To everyone else, welcome to another weekend of Church Next Door. We're gathering in homes all over Central PA, and my goodness, well beyond Central PA. And I'm resuming my epic journey to visit every empty Calvary building in our movement. Next weekend, we're starting a new gathering in Hawaii, and I'll be there. But this weekend, we're in the wonderful town of Lewis, and I'm here at the facility that was given to us by the First Baptist Church of Lewistown. And man, I tell you, I'm still blown away by their hearts. And Pastor Sean is here, and I've asked him to share a bit about what's going on in Lewistown. So Sean, what's God doing in Lewistown?
Well, thanks, Pastor Dan. It is great to have you here today and to be in the church building. We miss gathering together, but we love the fact that technology allows us to still connect with one another and with God. There's been some really great things that have been happening in Lewistown, and through the midst of all the COVID stuff, we've still been able to pursue our relationships and our outreach. We've adopted a community, a neighborhood near our church building, and weekly we're handing out Bible study and devotional sheets to them. And monthly, we send out care packages, and of course, toilet paper has been in them, but we've also handed out Bibles to that neighborhood, and that's been really exciting to be a part of what God's doing, and we've gotten some great response from that. Our outreach team director, John Swanger, and his wife, Nicole, have also been part of orchestrating some really neat things for Geisinger Lewistown Hospital. We've been providing some care packages to them weekly, and it's been such a blessing to those folks. They've been receiving some snacks, some sandwiches, some vegetable treats, but also some cold jars from East End Coffee Company, and we're really thankful to be able to partner with some folks right here in Lewistown to bless those that are working in the medical field. We're also collaborating right now and coming up with some additional ideas and some opportunities that we're pursuing to continue to bless our neighbors and our community. So to all of you who have given to the Community Relief Fund, know that it's not just working in Center County. It's being used at every site and at every location. Our online Zoom meetings for life groups have continued. They've increased. In fact, we just started a brand new women's Bible study in the last couple weeks, and it's been really neat to see different ladies, not just from Calvary Lewistown, but from our community, engaging with that as well. Another thing we're really excited about is the partnership we've had with other churches in our community to come together and to pray and to worship God. And before the COVID set in, we had a couple couple opportunities where we opened up our church buildings and we came together as a community of believers to pray over our community and to worship God. And since the COVID, we've been able to take this onto an online platform. And just last month, 15 churches from our community came together to pray together and to worship. And we're in the process now of planning our very next opportunity, which is going to come out in the next week or so. Mifflin County is still in the red stage, and I know it's frustrating, and I'm with you. But I want to encourage you because I'm reminded of Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, which say, "Be cheerful with joyful celebration in every season of life. Let joy overflow, for you are united with the Anointed One. Let gentleness be seen in every relationship, for our Lord is ever near." And as I said, I know it's a frustrating time, but we encourage you to dive deeper into your relationship with Jesus. We encourage you to dive deeper into your relationship with your neighbors and your front yard missions. Be intentional right now about being the church. As we continue, and before Pastor Dan comes back in, would you take a moment and just pray with me? God, we just want to declare before you how much we love you. And we understand that in this season, it can be difficult to have joy, but we know where true joy stems from, and it's from having a relationship with you. Thank you for loving us exactly the way you do. Would you bless our time together today? Would you help us to tune in to you and lean in to you? We give you the praise for what you're going to do, for it's in your precious name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Sean. You know, a number of years ago, John Eldridge was on a business trip to Oregon, and he snuck away for some time alone with God, down to the beach where he walked and prayed, and finally sat down in the sand to just kind of watch the waves. And then he saw it. This huge plume of water shot up into the sky, and a massive humpback whale appeared before him, almost impossibly close to the shore. Nobody else was near, and the normal time of the whale's annual migration had long since passed, and John just knew immediately that this was his gift, a gift from God to his heart alone, a gift from the lover of his soul. John told Stacy, his wife, the story, and she was happy for him, but you know, it kind of made her hungry for her own whale, a whale of her own. And not long after this, they were both in Northern California speaking at a couple's retreat. And one morning, she snuck away for some time alone. And you guessed it, she went to the beach and she sat on the sand and asked God for a whale. She said, I felt a little silly in asking, for I knew the truth, that God had already proven his love for me. He had sent his only son, Jesus, to die for me. He had rescued me. He had given me all of creation. He'd given me the word of God in all of its depth and beauty. And here I was asking for more. But still she asked God for her own whale. "I know you love John," she said, "but Jesus, do you love me too? Do you love me that much? And if you do, may I have a whale too?" She waited a while, and then with no whale in sight, she got up to leave. It's Mother's Day weekend, number 4 on the list of the high holy days in the liturgical calendar: Christmas Eve, Good Friday, Easter Sunday, and Mother's Day. Sometimes being a mom is difficult, and sometimes it's risky, and sometimes it's glorious, and sometimes, right, it's easy to look around at the gifts that God has given someone else and ask the question, "God, can I have a whale too? I know you love them, but do you love me like that?" Mother's Day is a little bit like the coronavirus. Some think it's not that big a deal. Some think there's nothing more important. We all go through it, but we all see it and experience it in completely different ways. In our church family, we have mothers who have lost a child to suicide. We have kids who are struggling with the pain and confusion of divorce, prodigals who are running from home, single moms trying to make it alone, and women with fierce unmet desires to be a mom. And then the corona came, which added a whole new layer of glorious mess to our situations. And every time you hear me question going back to normal, your stomach knots up because back to normal seems better than the current corona reality. And so as I prayed and pondered the message for mothers, but directed to us all, in response to the question, "God, what in the world are you doing?" I just had this vision again, like God was holding his arms out hands open, arms wide with invitation, because we're invited to a new tomorrow. With all my heart, I believe that. We're in a transition time, not just individually, not just the church, but in many ways, I think, around the globe, we're invited to a new tomorrow. And oftentimes, in times of transition, we kind of fight to go back, or we have to surrender forward. I want to start this weekend in John chapter 5. It's a story of a nameless man who's living a difficult life. And in verses 1 through 5, we find that Jesus has gone up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. And in Jerusalem, there was a place called the Pool of Bethesda. It was this large pool surrounded by 5 covered porches, and crowds of disabled people used to lie there. And there was a man there who had been an invalid for 38 years. In verse 6, it says, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" Now, if you go to Jerusalem today, you'll find this pool. It's north of the temple. In Jesus' day, it was a public pool, huge pool area. The whole thing was the size of a football field. The pool was up to 80 feet deep in places. It was surrounded by these 5 beautiful porches. In fact, when Lynn and I had the opportunity to go to Israel, we saw it, and we walked around this pool, and I tried to picture this moment in my mind, because this area could have been the centerpiece of any city, if not for the marginal people who spent all their time at the pool. The sick and the blind and the paralyzed, the lame. It looked like an overcrowded, understaffed hospital ward, or a battlefield littered with wounded people, or perhaps, in actuality, it looked a little bit like your neighborhood, any neighborhood of central PA. And every once in a while, the pool would bubble, probably from an underground spring. But legend said that an angel would come and stir up the water by dropping his wings. And the first one to enter the water after the angel's dip would be healed. And we can kind of laugh at some of that. But, you know, some of us have looked in stranger places seeking life. In fact, we've all probably laid around a few pools in our lifetime, hoping to find life. So in the midst of this great broken crowd who have placed all their hope in a legend, there's this powerless person. No idea how long he'd laid there, but quite a while. He's used to it. It's his normal. And I just wonder, can you see yourself there? Can you see yourself in his place? And if so, it's not all that easy, right? I mean, to look in the mirror and see the brokenness of your heart, to know that in spite of your hardest work, it didn't work. You couldn't keep the kitchen clean, let alone keep your kids' hearts safe. You weren't wise enough or healthy enough to save the relationship. You just weren't enough. And now you're asking for your whale. God, do you love me like that? Now, I wasn't going to spend more than just a few moments on this story to kind of set up Ephesians chapter 1, where we'll spend a little bit more time. But after last weekend's talk on the treasure of Christ, I just couldn't tear my gaze away from this moment. On this particular day, a Jewish holiday and holy day, Jesus is walking around the Pool of Bethesda in the midst of this crowd of marginalized people. And don't make a mistake about this. He chooses to go to this pool. It wasn't a detour. He didn't get lost. He wasn't just killing time. He was drawn to this pool the same way he's drawn to all the places where broken people are in lockdown. Because listen to me, Jesus is drawn to need, not comfort. He's drawn to the margins of life. He came to find the lost and heal the sick and make whole the broken. He brings peace to the anxious and courage to the fearful and community to those who are quarantined by sin. This is woven all through the Gospels. He stops for the helpless, and he passes by those who think they can help themselves. He pauses in the places where brokenhearted sinners are real with their broken real-life needs, and he races by the proudly self-sufficient. Listen, mothers who feel unworthy and unable, for whatever reason, he sees you, and he's drawn to you. He's drawn to the margins. This man lived his life in the margins, alone in the crowd. When you live in the margins, it's like being quarantined without the walls. Our communities, our neighborhoods had margins long before we had Corona. The places that we drive by without ever noticing, the people we know by name but not by heart. Jesus loved people in the margins. And moms, if you find yourself in the margins of life today, please hear me. Jesus is close. He loves to walk that path. The margins are one of his favorite paths. Some of his greatest work has been done in the margins of life. And I just want to have you hear him say today, I move in the margins. And so Jesus is moving in the margins. And verse 6, again, it says, when Jesus saw him lying there like that for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? I'm just thinking, forgive me, Jesus, but isn't that the dumbest question you've ever heard? I mean, he walks up to a broken person lying in the midst of hundreds, maybe thousands of broken people. He walks up to a mother who's struggling with her anger, discouraged by what she hasn't done, heartbroken because she's tired of everything. And Jesus knocks on the door and says, do you need help? Do you want to be made well? No, Jesus, I've just been working on my tan for the last 38 years. Do you want to be made well? No, I really like helpless and uncertain. I love seeing the Instagram pictures of all the neat little activities my neighbor has planned with her kids. Do I want to be made well? How about you just cook supper? How about we just start there? But ask yourself, do I want to be made well? I got to ask the question because it's such an important question. Because sometimes our brokenness becomes so familiar, so normal, that going back to what I know seems better than going forward to what I don't know. Do I want to be made well? Or ask it this way, do I want to be blessed? Listen, I'm not talking about the blessings that make your life comfortable, that keep us in control and problem-free without corona chaos. I'm not talking about a spring without snow or a summer without rain. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about letting God do what God does. So ask yourself right now, do I want to go back to my normal with all of my junk and all of my brokenness, or would I rather go forward to God's blessing? I'm talking about something in here, not external, something in our hearts. I'm talking about Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, where Paul writes these words. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, when he says in the heavenly realms, he's not talking about reserved for us someday when we get to heaven. If you read through the letter to the church at Ephesus, you find that the heavenly places, the heavenly realms, are the reality, the unseen reality, the spiritual reality that we experience right now. These are spiritual blessings that are available for you right now in Christ. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. See, I think times like these that we're going through right now, times of loss and grief and powerlessness, times when control is taken away, times of disappointment, uncertainty and isolation, times when hope seems to be woven through with discouragement. I think times like these are post-it note reminders from God that there's actually more. Moms, what you're feeling right now might be the growling of a heart that is hungry for God. Sometimes we grow so accustomed to our normal brokenness that we no longer hunger for God's something more. And I want to awaken our hearts to the fact that there's more. You know, sometimes we run into someone who's found it, and it just kind of reawakens this hunger that we didn't even realize we had. And Paul is one of those people. If you run into his words often enough and let them just soak into your spirit and saturate your soul, it might reawaken or deepen a hunger. Paul is so hungry for God. He craves Christ. In fact, in the Greek language, the 12 verses from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14 form this one single sentence, this one single incredible outburst of joy. So just picture Paul sitting down at his table with pen in hand, and then his pen just bursts and it explodes as the words overflow into his scroll. He just can't help himself. He just goes on and on out of the sheer enjoyment for what he writes. And this is his starting point, verse 3. Praise be. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly places with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, what does it mean to be blessed? In his book, The Prayer of Jabez, Bruce Wilkinson writes, to bless in the biblical sense means to ask for or to impart supernatural favor. supernatural favor. When we ask for God's blessing, we're not asking for more of what we could get for ourselves. We're crying out for the wonderful, unlimited goodness that only God has the power to give to us. In his book, Breakthrough Prayer, Jim Cimbala writes, God's blessing is a reflection of his incredible love for creation. While it is invisible in its essence, his blessing is invincible, overcoming everything that hell can throw against it, even a corona quarantine. See, here's our problem. I think somewhere along the way, we quit believing that God can bless us, or maybe we just quit believing that God really will bless us. We quit believing that his blessing matters more than anything, and we've lost sight of the fact that what is unseen is not always unreal. That there are spiritual blessings in Christ in the heavenly places. Well, what if one reason that we're struggling right now is because we've come to believe that all we can see is all there is to see? But what if there's more? What if Paul wasn't blowing smoke when he said in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them, far outweighs them all. And so, he said, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We fix our eyes on what is unseen because what is seen is temporary and what is unseen is eternal. I mean, let's be honest, that sounds kind of like crazy talk. I mean, when what is unseen is more real to people than what is seen, most of us think, wow, you got a problem. you might need medication. And sometimes it is crazy talk, but Paul would say that we're just as crazy if we think that what we see is all that's real, because what is unseen is not always unreal. And perhaps our brokenness has become so normal that we've lost sight of the unseen reality that promises something more. Has that happened for you? See, God promises. He's made available to us every spiritual blessing. Hashtag blessed. I don't know if you've ever run across that hashtag. I run across it every once in a while, fairly frequently actually, and it's usually preceded by some good turn in somebody's circumstances. Like God pulled over doing 80 and a 65, the officer gave me a warning, hashtag blessed. Or amazing sights in Iceland, adventure with my love, hashtag blessed. Or here's a recent one from one of our staff members. I'm not looking to brag, but we had a breasted grosbeak at the feeder this morning and an oriole in the tree next door. Yeah, I know, hashtag blessed. I might argue about that, but whatever. But is that really all that hashtag blessed describes? I mean, do my circumstances externally have to be good in order to be hashtag blessed? Job was blessed beyond belief, and he went through horrendous tragedy. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was hashtag blessed and was given one of the most difficult assignments anybody's ever been given. The troubles of Paul's life could fill a book, but his blessings filled the heavens. He was blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ, blessings like the one found in verses 4 and 5. Listen to this. Even before he made the world, Paul writes, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. In other words, I am hashtag blessed. I have a forever family. If you are in Christ, you have a gotcha day. The adoption papers are signed. You understand, you're not just another broken mom who needs help. You're his daughter. That's what Jesus was saying in John chapter 14, verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. You have a forever family. In Romans 8, Paul says that the Spirit of God whispers into our souls that we really are God's kids. In your isolation, hear his whisper. Listen for his voice. You are his daughter. I've said this multiple times in the last eight weeks, but in my mind, it's like we've been given a worldwide Sabbath, and Father's removing the distractions. I know not all the distractions, but many of them, and he's just wooing us home to his heart. I look out over central PA, and every day, all I can see is his arms wide open. He is for you. He's not against you. You are relentlessly loved with an indiscriminate affection. That's his voice you hear whispering, child, come home. Lynn asked me the other night, what's God been doing in your heart? And And I just said, you know, sometimes I find that I can't pray for more than just a few minutes at a time because there's such an intensity to the way that God grips my heart and squeezes the tears out my eyes. And it's not my tears. My heart isn't that big. I just keep getting this sense that he's giving me a small taste of his heart for the world, his heart for his kids. What in the world is God doing? His unchanging plan has been to adopt us into his own family by sending Jesus to die for us. And he did this because he wanted to. He wanted to. I mean, just let that settle into your heart. You are covered in his love. You are his want to, not his have to. We give our ears and our hearts to so many distracting, condemning sometimes, even shaming voices. Fill your heart with Father's voice of love. When you lie in your bed on the verge between sleep and worry, he's for you. He's working the night shift on your behalf. What your heart feels when you look at that little kid sleeping and you realize that regardless what happened throughout the day, you would do anything you could to see them become all that they can. That's his heart for you. Hashtag blessed. I have a forever family. Then another blessing in verses 6 through 8. Paul writes, so we praise God for the glorious grace that he's poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He's so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. Hashtag blessed. I'm living under an unending outpouring of God's glorious grace. Glorious grace poured out, showers of kindness, freedom and forgiveness, wisdom and understanding poured out upon us. That word blessed literally means to bend the knee. So when the Bible talks about God blessing us or us blessing God, there's this picture of our bending our knees and worshiping God. But what about when God blesses us? I have this picture in my heart from over 26 years ago. We were still living in Minnesota, and we were home one night, and Lynn and the girls were eating, and Sarah finished and went back to her bedroom while Lynn finished with supper. And Lynn didn't realize that Sarah had taken Jake into her bedroom with Kool-Aid and Cheetos and chocolate chip cookies and put him on the bed for a picnic lunch. And when Lynn came back, the Kool-Aid was built and Cheetos and chocolate chip cookies are ground into the bedspread. And Lynn was upset and she raised her voice just a little bit at Sarah. And Sarah stuck out her lip and said, "You're acting like a rich, mean mother." I have no idea where the rich part came from. But Lynn said, "Sarah, that hurt my feelings. Did you know that what you were doing was wrong?" And Sarah said, "Yes." And she sat there, but she wouldn't look at Lynn. And so Lynn left the room. There wasn't a lot of blessing taking place in that moment. But a few minutes later, Sarah came out, and she's kind of, you know, knocking on Lynn's knees and saying, "Mommy, get down on your knees." And Lynn wasn't in the mood, so she didn't. And Sarah kept following her. "Mommy, please go down on your knees." And so she did. And Sarah stood in front of her and threw her arms around Lynn's neck and said, "Mommy, I'm sorry." And Lynn forgave her, and there was this blessing of glorious grace. Listen, we are Father God's children, but there is such a distance between us and God. And in fact, our sin separates us so far that we could never throw our arms around the neck. We could never experience his blessing. The only way we could experience his blessing is if God himself came down to our level. And in Christ, Father God got down on his knees. And now he just waits for us to throw our arms around his neck and say, "Daddy, I'm sorry." So that we can experience the blessing of his presence. And finally, in verses 13 and 14, Paul writes this, "And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. And the Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance that he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so that we would praise and glorify him." Hashtag blessed. The best is yet to come. You've heard it from me 1,000 times. The best is yet to come. You have an inheritance. This is our hope. All that you have right now is not all that you're going to have. The Spirit of God is our guarantee that the best is yet to come. So let me just ask you again. What in the world is God doing? In Ephesians 1:3, Paul says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ." God is Listen to me. God is carving out a blessing space right in here, in your heart, in your life, and he's filling it with every spiritual blessing. We're in a time of transition. Can't you feel that? I mean, do you feel it in your soul? Like God's put the world, the church, each of us in this time of transition. Even those who don't know God sense it. But I'm starting to believe that this transition is not so much preparing us for the blessing to come, but rather this transition is the blessing that's preparing us for the harvest to come. I mean, what if this isolation is his blessing? What if the mess and the pain and the uncertainty is the actual blessing? And what we get afterwards is simply the afterglow of experiencing his blessing now. I don't know. All I know is that right now he is blessing you with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And he's pursuing us. David, the psalmist, writes in Psalm 23, verse 6, "Surely your goodness, O God, your unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." He's blessing us. He's pursuing us. And in all of these things, all of this trouble, all of this uncertainty, all of these restrictions, Paul says in Romans 8:31, "What then shall we say in response to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Let me go back to the whale story. Stacy Eldridge waited a while, and then when no whale showed up, she got up to leave. It was early spring, Northern California. The waves were crashing on the rocky coast. She picked her way around an outcropping of rocks and looked down to discover a solitary, beautiful orange starfish. And she knew immediately that it was God's gift to her, God's kiss, not a whale, but something unique for her. He had answered her question, "Yes, I love you." She said thank you, and then as she rounded another outcropping of rock, she came upon a sight that she said she will never forget. She writes, "There before me, behind me, surrounding me were hundreds of starfish, zillions of starfish. There were purple ones and orange ones and blue ones, all sizes. I burst into joyful laughter, my heart exploding inside of me. God didn't just love me, he loved me." What in the world is God doing? He's blessing us and he's pursuing us. He's blessing you and he's pursuing you, and whatever he is doing, I'm telling you, he is for you. So in the midst of the mess, lean in. Don't lean away. Don't put up walls. In the midst of the mess, lean in. In the isolation, stop running. Stop running from God. In the uncertainty, trust him. We're going to listen here to a video, a virtual choir singing a blessing over each and every one of you, especially moms, but each and every one of you. And as you listen, just let those words kind of soak into your heart and your soul. He is for us.
To you.
The Lord turn his face toward you
and give you peace.
Ah.
bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and
children.
May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, he is for you, he is for you.
Church of Central Pennsylvania, we bless you in the name of Jesus.
We bless you with all the promises and dreams that God has for you.
We bless your ears to hear his voice the life-giving words of Scripture.
And the voice of the Spirit calling you to follow God with all your heart, soul, and mind.
We bless you to love your neighbors like you love yourself and to treasure Christ above all.
We bless your life to be filled with the hope that overflows into your family and neighborhoods.
We ask God to open up the windows of heaven and pour uncontainable blessings upon you as you seek to be a blessing to those around you.
May the Lord bless you and keep you.
May he smile upon you and be gracious to you.
May he show you his favor and give you his peace.
We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
And that was such a great song, and it was a lot of fun to put that together with other churches and pastors here in Center County, here in Central PA, and the message, he is for you. And I just ask Lynn, for those of you who don't know her, this is my wife, Lynn. This is why this is all the social distancing that mm-hmm. we need. But I just asked her to take a moment to talk to and pray for the moms who are out there.
I love that song also. God is so for you. And for the past few weeks, I go out on our front porch in the morning, the first thing and the last thing before bed, and I play that song and I sing that blessing over my family and over our community, over our region. God is for us. So today as we close, I just want to pray a blessing over you. I want to pray specifically for the mamas who are listening. I want to pray for all of you, but in particular those mamas who are listening who are home, quarantined with their kids, feeling a bit overwhelmed. I just want to remind you, he is for you. One minute you may look at the chaos of life all around you and smile, and in the next minute you may look at the same chaos that is all around you, and you may be willing to sell a kidney for a half hour of peace and quiet. He sees you, and I hear you. As a mom of four kids, I remember. I so wish that I could sit with you at a table with a cup of coffee and look you in the eyes and pray for you. I want to look you in the eyes and tell you, you are doing an amazing job. You're changing lives. God sees you, and God is for you. And I'm going to tell you a secret. When I look back at the years of chaos and commotion and a house full of kids, I mostly remember the good times. I know there are challenging times. I know there are hard times. I know there are exhausting times. But I remember his blessings. So I'm praying that God saturates your soul with blessings. I'm praying that you can grab on to the beauty and the joy in the moments. I'm praying that you have strength for the difficult times. But I'm praying that the good times soak into your soul. That the moments of heart-brimming joy and laughter, the gratitude of what's right in front of us just sinks in so deeply. And I'm praying the blessings, I'm praying the beauty, that those are the things that fill your hearts in the years ahead. And I'm praying that the Spirit will tend to your heart by cultivating gratitude and in over even the smallest of things, so that your heart remembers all of God's blessings and all of his goodness. And I promise you, this is a season. I'm tempted to tell you not to blink, because if you blink, you'll miss it. But I think that many of you probably feel right now that you just need nothing more than a long blink that leads into a long nap. And so I'm going to pray for that too. And while some of you are hardly able to even imagine what it would be like to go deeper with God and to sit quietly before him, don't miss what he's doing in you now. Don't miss what he's entrusted to you now during this time in the midst of kids and family and chaos. These past 2 years, and especially these past 2 months, God keeps putting Psalm 23 on my heart. I've memorized it and I pray it every day and I think about it throughout the day and ask God to keep showing me his heart for me, his heart for us. And the longer I linger on it, the more he shows me how much he is pursuing us. He's shown me this progression of him making us lie down, making us rest, of him leading us gently to the quiet waters to give us restoration, and then guiding us along the right paths. We need to rest, and we need to allow him to refresh us so that we can move forward on the paths that he's guiding us to. I love how the psalm starts out with David talking about God, but when he comes to the difficulty, he starts talking to God. As he's walking through the darkness, he starts talking to God. You are with me, God. You are my comfort. You protect me. I love that. And then David becomes overwhelmed with gratitude for God's blessings. He can't help but see God's faithfulness and love and mercy, and he talks to God about that too. So, mamas, these are hard days. They're days of uncertainty. There are days where we can feel that nothing is in our control, and we can't look ahead and see an end to it. Days that can cause fear and anxiety to overcome us if we let it. But God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. He pursues you with his love, and he is so for you. So let me pray for you. Father, I pray that you would bless with every spiritual blessing, every person listening right now. I pray that you would bless our eyes to see your goodness, to see your beauty all around us. I pray that you would bless our ears to hear joyful sounds of laughter and joy in the midst of chaos, and that our ears would be in tune to hear your voice. I pray that you'd bless our mouths to speak blessing over our children, over those around us, that we would speak of your truth. I pray that you would bless our minds to comprehend math and Zoom calls and technology and the million different things that we never learned how to do that we're being called on to do now. Bless our minds, God. Bless our hands to serve. Sometimes it feels like the hands serving and preparing meals are most of the day for some young moms. But God, would you bless those hands as they prepare food and serve and love on their kids. And God, I just pray every supernatural blessing. I pray supernatural strength over all of us. We need you. God, we need you during this time. So we just pray your blessing. Thank you for loving us. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
God is for us. He's for you. And we just want to close with a couple of calls to action, action items, next steps, something that you can do leaving from here today.
So one of the things that you can do is to write down your blessings. When we were doing our Facebook Live Thursday night, Dan challenged people to think through their blessing, to write it out, and to post it, hashtag blessed. And one of the blessings that I've looked at over the last 2 months is that there's been a few times that I've gotten to read a bedtime story to Rory over FaceTime. So I'm not with her, but that's a blessing to be able to do that with her. And the second thing that you could do is take a moment to pray. I would encourage you to take a moment every day, throughout the day, to talk to God, to talk to Jesus, not just about Jesus, to hear his voice telling you that he's got this, he's got you, and he has you exactly where he wants you to be. Hear him tell you that he trusts you to love the ones that he loves.
And the last thing that I would say is, be encouraged, maybe even challenged, but be encouraged if God puts it on your heart to ask him for a whale, to ask him for a starfish. Not, we're in central PA, so it's probably not going to be a whale. It's probably not going to be a starfish. But I've been praying so often lately that God would just show people in very personal and unique ways how much he loves them. And so if you pray that, be open to God showing you in the way that he thinks is best. It might be snow in the spring. It might be quarantine. I don't know what it is, but I'm telling you, I believe with all my heart that if our ears are open, our hearts are open, we'll hear his voice, and he is so for you. And finally, invite a friend, tell a friend about today if you think they'll be encouraged by it, or invite a friend and show up next weekend as well. It's been great being with you this weekend. Happy Mother's Day, happy Teachers Week, happy Nurses Week, happy birthday to Lynn also. And
And Jason.
We'll talk to you later.